Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CDSL Q1 FY 2025 earnings conference call hosted by HDFC Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Ladies and gentlemen, please note that CDSL does not provide specific revenue or earnings guidance. Anything said on this call which reflects CDSL's outlook for the future or which could be constituted as forward-looking statements must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, operator. So good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of HDFC Securities, we welcome you all to the CDSL Quarter 1 FY 2025 earnings call. Today, we have with us the management team of CDSL, represented by Mr. Nehal Vora, MD and CEO, Mr. Girish Amesara, CFO, and other senior leaders. We'll start with a brief overview of the quarter by Mr. Nehal Vora, and then we will open up the floor for questions. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Amit. A very good afternoon and welcome to everyone. I hope each of you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. Thank you for joining us today to discuss CDSL's financial results for the first quarter of the new financial year, FY 2024-25. We have posted a detailed investor presentation on our website for your reference. I'm joined by the CDSL Group's leadership team, including the MDs of the subsidiaries. First, let me start with the industry highlights. So during the first quarter 2024-25, the Indian capital markets reached a significant milestone, with our total market capitalization surpassing $5 trillion. The average daily turnover surged by about more than 110% quarter-on-quarter and reached about 131,000 crores, compared to 65,500 crores in the same quarter last year. The overall activity in the Indian securities market saw a notable increase compared to the previous quarter. This quarter, India further strengthened its retail participation in the capital markets. The total number of demat accounts in India surpassed 16 crore in June 2024, with over 77% opened with CDSL. As on June 30th, 2024, CDSL had 12.55 crore registered accounts, compared to 8.83 crore in the June quarter last year, marking a 42% increase. We have leveraged growth of technology and extensive presence, especially in Tier 3 and Tier 4 cities, to achieve this growth, further enhancing value to the shareholders and to mark the celebration of CDSL's 25th anniversary. The board, during its meeting on July 2nd, approved and recommended the issuance of owner shares in the ratio of 1:1, subject to shareholders' approval. While the CFO will cover the financial performance, I want to highlight that CDSL's performance is the result and culmination of the market dynamics and underscores our role as a trusted custodian of investor wealth. The presence of our services and ease of business due to quicker settlements and services, and other services like eAGM, eDIS, the margin pledge system, e-voting, online account opening, etc., has had an important impact on the growth. As we celebrate our 25 years of operation, our focus remains on enhancing the capital market ecosystem by enhancing efficiency, trust, and basic transparency. We prioritize and focus on the Atmanirbhar investor, a lot of videos you would have seen on our social, while striving for innovation and leading to consistent and sustainable financial and business performance. Before I hand it over to the CFO, I'd just like to say that the growth of the Indian securities market will is an extremely encouraging step in India's potential. I also want to place our appreciation and gratitude to all our stakeholders, regulators, depository participants, investors, issuers, and all other market participants and employees for the constant faith in us. With this, I'll hand it over to the CFO for the financial performance. So, over to you, Girish.
Thank you, Nehal. Good afternoon to everyone. Speaking on the quarterly performance on a consolidated basis, the total income for the quarter ended June 2024 has increased by 65% to 287 crore, as against 174 crore for the same quarter during the previous year. The net profit for the quarter ended June 2024 has increased by 82% at 134 crore, as against 74 crore for the same quarter during the previous year. On a standalone basis, the total income for the quarter ended June 2024 has increased by 30% to 221 crore, as against 170 crore for the same quarter during the previous year. The net profit for the quarter ended June 2024 has increased by 14% at 105 crore, as against 92 crores for the same quarter during the previous year. Now I'll hand it over to Sunil. Thank you. Over to you, Sunil.
Yeah, thanks, Girish. So far as CBL is concerned, we had a decent quarter for the June quarter ending 2024. The total income was up 101% to 64 crores from 32 crores in the same period of 2023. With regard to the total expenses, increased by 62% to 26 crore from 16 crores for the quarter ending June 2023. The profit before tax was up by 141% to 37 crores for the quarter ending June 2024, as compared to the profit before tax of 15.63 crores for the quarter ending June 2023. The profit after tax increased by 140% to 28.55% as compared to 11.90 crores for the quarter ending June 2023. With this, I would like to open the floor for the question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Supratim Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is...
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. May I request you to please use your handset?
Yeah. Is this better now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the cost side. Just wanted to understand what is driving the technology cost growth. It has been fairly steep, you know, YOY, it's gone up, it's nearly doubled. So just wanted to understand, you know, what are the key building blocks here. Two is, you know, in the second half of this year, you know, the compulsory dematerialization of, you know, private company shares that is supposed to kick in. Now, just wanted to understand, you know, what sense of the market do you have at this point, because now it's more like 3 months out. So just wanted to understand, you know, do you have a sense of the market? Have you made any investments already on this front? Or would you make the investments, be it on technology side, you know, go once this opportunity starts to come through? That's the second question. And lastly, on the KRA business, the business has grown fairly strongly. Just wanted to understand what would be the split of the, you know, the business that you receive from brokers versus mutual funds within this KRA segment. If you could give us some sense of, you know, where the revenue is coming from, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
So on the first point, we are like an infrastructure company, as I've said many times before on the investor call. Technology and human resource are the two building blocks for building this infrastructure. And there has to be technology doesn't build fast enough. We need to plan it well, and as the growth happens, we need to plan for our hardware, application, security, and all components of technology. So this is more of a proactive investment which will continue to happen to ensure that we continue to have the best type of technology platforms for the market, which are best in class in terms of the leading practices. And technology, as you know, evolves also a lot. So we need to ensure that the best in class products are used for all our platforms. So that's on the first question. On the second question, as I said earlier, it's compulsory not for all private limited companies. There are certain conditions under which it will be made compulsory. There are certain thresholds for sales and share capital, and only those companies will be required to dematerialize if they transfer the shares or they raise any capital. So it's not, it'll have to be seen how it pans out. But however, we have built and augmented our resources both on the technology and human resource standpoint to ensure that we are able to process the load which will come in, and we are fully prepared for it. For the third question, I'll ask Sunil to answer.
See, this same question has been clarified earlier also, that as a KRA, I do not really know how many mutual funds are actually, you know, using, the split between the mutual fund and the brokers, because today currently most of the transactions are happening on the exchange platform, and the exchange platforms are opening a DMAT cum broking account, and then the transactions are getting credited into the investor's account. I hope that answers your question.
That has been helpful. Just one, you know, follow up on that technology question. You know, I understand that you know your point that, you know, you will continue to invest in this side of the business. But we just wanted to understand that, you know, from the 1Q base, should we see further acceleration over the next few quarters, or, you know, this is the run rate that you plan for the coming quarters as well?
We don't give any forward-looking statements. But the overall ethos is to build a robust, resilient platform. And whatever it takes, we will have to continue to build in terms of cost. But I will not able to comment specifically whether the same run rate will continue or not, because we don't give any forward-looking statements.
Understood. That's very helpful. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the transaction charges. So obviously we had the impact of the, you know, rate cut that we had. So I just wanted to clarify whether we had the full quarter impact in the first quarter, or there is a spillover in like quarter two as well. And also in terms of the revenue from others, which excludes the online data, IPO corporate action, transaction, and issuer, there is a significant jump. So if you can clarify, is there any revenue from insurance also that I know we have booked in that? And how do you see the insurance opportunity coming up?
Yeah. So on the first question, Amit, 1st June is from when the transaction charges or reduction has come into play. So it has not had the full quarter. It's 1 month of the quarter which has ended. On the second one, I'll ask the CFO Girish to answer on the IPO and other revenue stream, and I'll ask Latesh Shetty, who is the CEO of the insurance repository, to answer on the insurance opportunity.
So, Amit, the new issuer charge is solely pertaining to CDSL, and it does not have any component of CIL. In terms of your next question was in terms of IPO corporate action, right?
No, so I was asking the revenue excluding
other
all these.
Other income.
Yeah.
Okay.
other income is largely consisting of investment income, e-voting charges, cash charges. These are the main three heads under the other income.
Okay. Now, so the other income has increased to 26 crores if I exclude the interest income. So from 20 crores to 26 crores, that has seen a jump.
Largely, it is contributed by cash and followed by e-voting.
Okay. Okay.
E-cash statement income.
Okay. So if you can quantify the e-cash and the e-voting in this quarter, because we have been giving that.
So we have, in terms of e-cash statement income, we have recorded an income of 11 crore in this quarter. And in terms of e-voting, we have recorded an income of 5.6 crore in this quarter.
Okay. And so in terms of the technology cost, you mentioned that obviously it is being done for the robust system. But post the cyber attack that we had, there has been the significant jump in the technology cost. So just want to understand, is this like compulsory investment that we're doing, or is this based on the regulatory guidelines, or based on the growth that we're having, we are investing upfront, or is it the compulsory investment that has to be done? And how do we see that, maybe till how long will this kind of elevated investments will be required?
So the malware, which was found by our own systems, which was detected and switched off, happened way back in November 22. So it's been about 1.5, nearly 2 years. So I don't think that has anything to do. This has got to do with ensuring that the platform becomes more in tune with the latest technology products. We want to give the best kind of offerings to the market participants and to equity investors. Also, as the volumes grow, we need to plan for our capacity, etc. And the requisite applications have to be upgraded, people also. So this is really the roadmap to ensure that CDSL as a depository is able to cater to the requiring demands of the market, at the same time giving the best kind of offerings to the securities market so that people can continue to have the keys as they move forward.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll be back in the queue. Bye.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit from Tara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. My first question is on the employee cost. So I think we were to have some salary increments in this quarter, as we had mentioned on the previous earnings call. So just want to understand what explains the sequential dip in employee cost.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that last sentence? I couldn't hear that.
I was saying the employee cost has seen a dip sequentially. I think the impact of increments were to come in this quarter, as mentioned in the previous earnings call. So I was saying what explains the sequential drop in employee cost?
Sequential drop in the employee cost.
Yeah.
I don't think there has been any drop in the employee cost. It is part of the variable pay and the increments get factored in after going through the appraisal process, and that is factored in.
I think previous quarter was 276 crores and this quarter was 267 crores. So that's the reason I saw dip. So that's the reason for the question.
No, to
ask
you, to give the perspective, normally we consider the increments and promotion cost in the first quarter of new financial year. Now, what happens is that whatever the excess or whatever adjustment needs to be made are done in the month of March while closing the financial statement. So it might happen in some quarters that the March and the June quarter are quite similar.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Got it. And for the quarter, what was the regulatory charges for the quarter? I think that we shared, you do share that, right? Regulatory charges for the quarter, if you can share.
So
Yeah, I can ask.
That is 11 crore. I think it is mentioned in the investor PPT. We are giving detailed breakup of all the expense heads and income heads in the investor PPT.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's
Thank
it.
You. The next question is from the line of Madhukar Ladha from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Quick one question. From October, the SEBI circular on true to label will also come into effect. So how are you planning to approach that? I believe you'll probably have to revise your charges, transaction charges, especially as a result of that. So I wanted to understand how that will work. Second, also wanted to understand how would the real-time settlement really impact transaction charges. Has there been any thought process around that or any development around that? So these two would be my questions. Thank you.
Sure. So on the first question, it is work in progress. We are working out. It'll have to be approved by the board and then sent to SEBI for its approval. The depository charges get approved by SEBI before it is done. So that's work in progress. You will see how that will factor that in. I will not be able to reveal too many details at this stage because it's work in progress. As regards your second question was, I'm sorry, could you repeat your second question?
On the real-time settlement.
So real-time settlement is yet some time away. I think that has nothing to do with the charges at this stage. I think charges is on debits which we charge irrespective of what is the frequency of the settlements, whether it T plus 1, T plus 0, and anyway, instantaneous or T plus 0 is all are going to be on an optional basis. They're not on a compulsory basis as of now, as prescribed by the regulator. So I think the charges are going to be kind of identical, whether it is through the T plus 0 or a T plus 1 side. You get charged them on basically the debits which happen.
Got it, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Shah, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Mr. Pratik, you're audible. We have lost the connection of the current participant. We will move on to the next participant. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So firstly, could you spell out a rationale for cutting the transaction charges?
So the really rationale of cutting the transaction charges is basically the economies of scale, which has happened. And therefore, we are the intent was to pass on that economies of scale to the market at large. And as you'll able to see a full quarter impact from the next quarter onwards. But even if you take on a pro rata basis of an average between June from where the reduction has happened on a simple average of 3 months, I don't think there has been any value-wise impact, which in fact it has been a positive impact which has happened. The intent is that more and more people would be encouraged to join the ecosystem, and we are passing on some part of that economies of scale to the market.
So just trying to get this again, but I'm sure extrapolating what you've done right now, to the true-to-label charges, and this, I think this cut was announced after the true-to-label charges announcement?
No, it was prior.
Okay. Do you think that you will be at the lower end of the transaction charges in the true-to-label?
As I said, that is work in progress. I'm not able to state more of it till it goes through its process.
Got that. Sir, with respect to, you know, insurance repository, how many companies are you engaged with today, life insurance companies and health insurance companies?
I'll ask Latesh to answer. He's the MD and CEO of the insurance repository.
Yeah, hi. Including life, health, and general insurance companies, we are signed up with 44 companies.
44 companies. What would be the scale that we would have achieved today in terms of number of policies and the revenue?
Quarter ending June, we have completed 1.4 million policies. Predominantly, it is on the life insurance.
Okay. Any numbers on revenue for the quarter?
Quarter ending, I mean, we don't give breakup of operational and total. The total number of revenue that we have crossed for the June quarter is total income is 99 lakhs.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket Godha, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my just simple question was that, given we have taken a price cut in the transaction charges and the lower end of the slab is 3.25, which is effective from 1st June. If you can give a ballpark indicative number, average realization for the quarter per debit instruction. Just wanted to understand how much is the difference between lower end and the average realization?
We don't give that breakup as part of our thing, but you can take kind of off the cuff by seeing what is. Basically, the revenue is seen as a total culmination of all that, but we don't give breakup as per each slab-wise.
Okay. No, because the reason being asked is very simple that, given we will have only one price going ahead from 1st October, so most likely management will decide closer to the average realization or it will be closer at the lower end of the slab. That's the reason I was trying to check the numbers, sir.
As I told you earlier, this goes through multiple levels of approval for basically the depository. SEBI also formally approves it as part of the operating instructions. It goes through the approval of the board, and then it goes to SEBI for its approval of the operating instructions. It'll be difficult to kind of indicate. You will see as soon as the approval is got, we will be announcing it to the market.
Got it, sir. Some data keeping questions. Sir, if you typically give this data, impairment cost, income from unlisted companies, pledge income and number of KYC records.
We don't give a number of KYC records, but the other income, other data we give. Ask Girish.
Income from unlisted company for the quarter is 4.5 crore, and with respect to the impairment cost, it is roughly around 3 crore.
3 crore. Sir, pledge income?
Sorry? Pledge income.
Income.
Pledge is around 6.25 crore in this quarter.
Okay. Sir, NSE came out with a circular that so many stocks are not eligible for pledge anymore. With that regulation, just wanted to understand, do we see any impact on this line item because or indicatively the companies which have been withdrawn from pledge, do they materially contribute to our revenue in pledging income or not?
I think we'll have to see how it goes. We don't give any future guidance. Principally, if you see, our charges are same, whether it is a permitted stock or a non-permitted stock which has to be pledged. and people generally want to use the non-cash component, which is allowed up to 50% of the total margin exposure to be used as non-cash, because you don't lose any interest on it. So I think whether it is X number of stocks or Y number of stocks or within X certain part not permitted, I think the quantum should not typically be really impacted, because people will substitute one stock for another stock to really pledge it.
Got it. Got it, sir. Perfect. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. So in terms of the annual issuer charges, obviously in the first quarter we see a jump. But if you can just give some more color in terms of how it has been driven in terms of number of folio growth, and also in terms of how the mix has been in terms of slab based and folio based, and also if you can give some color on in terms of the annual issuer charges, how much is from MF folio units and how much is from stock folios.
So Amit, we don't give these details out in the public domain. It is based on the overall SEBI circular, which describes the manner in which you are aware of that circular, slab versus folio. But this is not taken out as part of our.
Okay. No, but in terms of the growth that we have been seeing over the last 2-3 years, is it, obviously it has been driven by the number of folios. So if you can give the growth rate in terms of how the folios have grown over the years.
We don't give the number of folios, but overall the trend is as the number of participants, demat accounts grow, people are going to own that many more stocks, and therefore the folios.
Okay. And so in terms of the transaction charges, obviously we have taken a cut, but have we seen any similar kind of cut from the competition as well? And as you said that there is no impact in terms of value. So, is it fair to consider that lower transaction charges will attract some more volume for us?
So there has not been any specific cut which we have seen. They had done some time ago. We had obviously, it was a very scientifically driven process. So based on that, we wanted to pass on the economies of scale to the market.
So are the charges pretty similar as of now, or is there any kind of...
We are lower. We are lower.
Okay.
We are lower depending on which slab you are, but we have a lower slab for people who trade more on CDSL.
Okay. And sir, any other opportunity that you see from the recent announcement in terms of budgets, maybe in terms of land records, and any other opportunity that you want us to and what is exciting as a at a team in CDSL? Any other opportunity?
So there are, it all will depend on how that budget proposals will pan out into actual action, and what manner, what format, etc. it will go. So that is wait and watch at this stage. It will be difficult to predict at this stage. Anyway, we don't give any future but even then, on a policy front also, it will be difficult to really predict, because we'll have to wait and watch how that will pan out into actual actions.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj Mithani from Jupiter Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on outstanding numbers. Sir, my question is if you can give some color on insurance repository in terms of growth prospect for the whole industry. and what kind of opportunity it could be for us.
Sure. I'll ask Latesh to answer.
Yeah, hi. Currently, we do not give any future growth prospect. As of now, IRDA is yet to make the repository services mandatory to the insurer. So we will wait for the decision from IRDA, and accordingly, as of now, the status quo remains. And we are optimistic that IRDA will take decision on the draft circular that had come out in November last year.
But what would be the industry size for us? You can give, I understand you can't give a forward-looking guidance, but you can tell us the industry size and, you know, the rate of growth if the IRDA comes out with this circular.
So currently, all IRs put together are not even 10% of the overall yearly annual policy. So the IRDA annual published numbers of last year shows that it is just under 2 crore total accounts put together. Probably that can give you some indication.
It is just under your voice group second year.
Yeah, 2 crore. The number of policies under DMAT mode is just under 2 crore. These are as per the IRDA numbers.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Fort Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're
on the Sir, regarding that technology charges, I understand you cannot give your prediction, but at least can you tell us as a percentage of revenue, what should we expect? Because if I see it has been varying from 5.5% to 6% to now almost 10% in the last quarter, if you can guide us in terms of percentage of revenue.
So that will be... means it will be difficult to predict a percentage in the future, but if you go by the past trend, we have been ranging in around that range, about 10 to 12%. But I think the important thing is from an intent point of view, we would like to ensure that the platforms of CDSL have the best in class technology and whatever it takes to for us to ensure that, and that has been viewed also very positively by the market participants, by more and more people wanting to trade. So I think it's like saying that like a road, you're building a road. Now the quality of your road, if it is good, you're going to have more and more cars wanting to come on that road. Now while building the road or maintaining the quality, you are not going to assess that if these many cars come, then only I will build a good quality road. My intent is to build a good quality road. And therefore, the intent is to build a good quality road without having a cognizance of how many cars are going to come on it. Similarly, our intent is to build the world-class technology platforms and continue to ensure that. And that has been viewed till now, fortunately, very positively by the market, that more and more people are wanting to come in and participate on the CDSL.
Absolutely. Sir, one more clarification.
Yes, please.
So, we are investing into hardware and software. So, we are not capitalizing it because of the, conservative approach, or the accounting standard doesn't allow us to capitalize this cost?
No, we do capitalize assets which can be capitalized as per the Ind AS. What cannot be capitalized has to be taken as a revenue expense. Again, everything is driven by the Indian accounting standards.
Okay, sir. No problem. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhargav from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
So my question is on the IPO and corporate action charges. So it shows grow by 170% year on year. Usually Q1 is being the weakest quarter for this segment. I just want to know what led to this significant growth in the segment.
I'll ask the CFO to answer. See, the growth in IPO corporate action charges is largely related to the IPO that comes in the market. So higher number of IPO, higher number of revenue will be generated from this particular revenue stream.
May I know the split between IPO and the corporate action in the segment?
We are not maintaining that kind of a split. For us, it is in one head of income.
or if you can just give me a ballpark number, like I guess the IPO charges will be much lower when compared to the corporate action charges, right?
Sorry?
The revenue which is coming from the IPOs, which I am guessing that will be much lower when we compare it with the corporate action charges revenue, right?
No, as I said, we do not internally track that kind of parameter between IPO and corporate action. So for us, it is an one head of revenue.
Yeah, because everything comes under the corporate action group, whether it's IPO or a corporate action.
Exactly.
The reason why I'm asking is because if you see on sequential basis, the revenue is stable. But if you see the history, Q1 will be one of the weakest quarter over the year. So that's what I'm trying to understand.
It's totally market dynamics. You know, the larger number of IPOs, we will have this kind of
revenue. It's not only IPOs, also number of corporate actions. Again, that is driven by how much consolidation is happening, how much corporate actions other companies are wanting to do. So it is completely driven by the market dynamics.
Okay, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parimal Methani from Credential Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you. So I just wanted to know your update about the account aggregator. What is the status and where are we in that?
So we have been mandated to be a financial information provider, which we have been there for last many quarters. In fact, we are one of the first in the securities market ecosystem to become an FIP, and we continue to be there.
So can you quantify the benefit for in terms of the market size and how we are going to benefit from this?
I'm sorry, your voice is not clear.
Can you hear me now, sir?
Yeah.
And can you how it will benefit us in terms of going ahead and the market size being the first move advantage?
Market size is difficult to predict at this stage because as many people come to know kind of want to access that information by giving a consent to an financial information user to reuse the information and data in the format which the investor wants it. Now that will be difficult to predict at this stage, how that is. It's all on basically the inception at this stage. It's in the preliminary stages of the entire system. So we'll have to wait and watch over the next few quarters, how it really pans out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miraj from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just a couple of questions. Wanted to understand that has there been any discussion if we will be revising any other charges since we are going to revise the charges based on true to label. So for a long time, I think we were supposed to have some revision in the annual issue charges as well. I know that you can't comment if there has been, is there going to or not going to, but I just wanted to know if there has been any discussion on that.
So true to label is what is under consideration at this stage, and obviously we'll have to wait and watch as for how the market really reacts to it, but that's a continuous process of review and both the issuer charges as well as the transaction charges, and as and when the scale grows, our intent is to encourage more and more people to join the securities market. And to the extent, whatever role we can play, that
I think there's some disturbance. So I was not able to hear you, sir. Could you please come again?
No, the point I was trying to make was that
ladies and gentlemen, we have the management connection back on call.
Yeah, so you can hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So the point is that the economies of scale is something which should be continuously assessed, and our intent is to get more and more people to join the securities market. And therefore, to the extent we can extend it over a periodic basis, is going to be a continuous assessment. Also, the cost of the platform, including technology, employees, etc., would be taken into consideration for any upward or downward revision which is required. So on one hand, you have the economies of scale. On the other hand, you have the costs to maintaining the platform on a good basis. It's a kind of a culmination of this, which will lead to how much the charges should go down or go up.
Okay, so the cost that we bear will also be a factor in, will also be considered as a factor in the charges.
Absolutely.
Perfect, perfect. And this is my final question, that since our last discussion, in the, since the last con call, has there been any other discussions on the T+0, T+instant settlements with the government? Just wanted to understand the progress on that front.
T+0 has already been implemented on an optional basis, continues to remain on an optional basis. And there have been continuous feedback from the market on what can be improved upon. But that's a continuous process. And once there is a significant time which goes and SEBI feels there's a need to move to very instantaneous, they will think about that. But as of now, T+0 and T+1 are both working.
So T+0 is with all the depository participants or only selective?
No, see, from a depository participant, there are a few brokers which have done on basically a beta phase. They can transact on those particular, there are a few stocks and few brokers. And obviously, SEBI is kind of continuously assessing this. But from a depository standpoint, we have to make it available if any kind of investor within those brokers want to opt for it. So from our standpoint, depository standpoint, both the systems are on.
Perfect, understood. Okay, thank you so much, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nehal Vora for closing comments.
Third, I wish you everybody all the very best, and thank you so much for your questions, and thank you for all your compliments. It actually means a lot for us as a management team. Thank you.
On behalf of HDFC Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.